You're listening to the Ensovides podcast. This is a show where we talk about doing all kinds of creative work and finding ways that we can collaborate better with each other so that we can do even more inspiring things. Our guest today is Gregory Kallenberg. He's the executive director of the Louisiana Film Prize. Some people go so far as to call it the world's best short film festival. And when you hear Gregory explain, it's hard to argue with that. He also talks about why it's a good idea to get involved if you've ever been interested in filmmaking or that's something that you do. It's a good opportunity. We talk about supporting your local film community, why that matters. And as a bonus, we even give you some ideas to get started on your short. That's all coming up. Stick around. This is the Ensovides Podcast. Hello, hello, hello. Joining us today is the executive director of the Louisiana Film Prize. He's also a writer who's written for publications like Esquire and the New York Times, and a filmmaker who had one of his documentaries screened at South by Southwest. Welcome to the show, Gregory Kallenberg.
Nick, it is phenomenal to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. I have to say, when I first read about the Louisiana Film Prize, I remember looking at it and I thought, that can't be right. $50,000. It's a prize in cash. And it doesn't seem like there's any obvious catch. So I'm wondering, others might be wondering, are you in fact crazy for putting this on?
You know, I was probably stupid the first year I did it, but crazy the second year, and now people have sort of learned to accept me for who I am, which maybe borders on sort of insane, but people still seem to cash the check.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an insanely good benefit for the filmmakers. It seems like you all said, what could we do that would be beneficial to people to really give them a jump start at a career? And so my hat off to you.
Thank you.
So for those who don't know, tell us, what are the particulars? What do you have to do to be eligible for the Louisiana Film Prize?
The concept is deceptively simple. All that you have to do to qualify for the Louisiana Film Prize is to shoot a short film between 5 and 15 minutes in Northwest Louisiana, and the parishes that are acceptable are online, and you have to be able to prove it. And then, you know, on July 7th, this coming summer, all you have to do is have a rough cut to us, and you're basically rolling the dice for $50,000 cash.
We've mentioned the $50,000, but I understand that there's a little bit more than that. There are more prizes available. So tell us about that.
Well, you know, I mean, for us, I mean, we are trying to kind of spread the wealth as far and wide as possible, because when somebody makes it to the top 20, they apparently have hit like an echelon that deserves deep consideration. And while, sure, there's a $50,000 cash prize that goes to one person, there are all sorts of ways to win the Louisiana Film Prize. Aside from that $50,000, the top five will receive iTunes distribution. Why iTunes distribution is so important is because what that does is that gives the filmmaker another stream of revenue to do the work, to do another film prize film, to create, you know, time in their work schedule, to create a script. I mean, that's incredibly important to us, hopefully important to the filmmaker too. Also, those top five receive festival appearances. Right now, we are working through partnerships with festivals across the country. You know, to a filmmaker, a laurel leaf is incredibly important, and we want to be able to give that to them, you know, the ability for their work to be seen. Aside from that, there is another prize called the Founder Circle Grant. We give away five of those. There are $3,000 grants. If you win one of these grants, you come back the following year, and any expenditures within the filming area of the Louisiana Film Prize will reimburse up to $3,000. So when you look at the grand landscape of the prizes, we're really giving away not $50,000, but we're giving away close to $75,000.
Yeah, no kidding. You all have an interesting voting process as well. So talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, there is a big evil plan. And the big evil plan is that I want to help build an indigenous film community in a state that I think is kick-ass. And, you know, to me, it's important to make this thing fun from, you know, the time you roll camera all the way till the moment that you are trying to vie for the $50,000 cash prize. So, you know, the film prize is determined two ways. One of the mechanisms, which is 50% of the vote, is that we bring on, you know, professional film journalists, writers, directors. This past year, we brought on distributors, and they basically choose half of the vote for the $50,000. The other half is the public, which is pure American Idol. And what's interesting about that is that if a filmmaker gets into the top 20, we actually give them $500 to do with it what they will. What we've seen happen in the past is that these filmmakers are doing the right thing, which is using that money to buy a bar tab at a bar or to buy swag so that, you know, people wearing their hats and their t-shirts and really having fun with it. Because ultimately, I always get the question, you know, well, can I buy a vote? You know, can I pay someone to vote?
I mean, it's democracy, so come on, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, and I'll tell you something, it really sort of creates this incredible energy where the filmmakers and the community and the judges all create this I guess in the state they call it a gumbo of activity and energy and excitement. Where the entire time it's a race to the finish. And I try to tell the filmmakers from the very beginning, it's stressful being one of these top 20 filmmakers because, you know, at the end of the day, you want that big check. And so you're working very hard to make sure that your numbers are polling right, you know?
Yeah. And I believe I read that the people who are doing the voting, they have to confirm that they've seen all of the films as opposed to just one or two. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. So, yeah, in order for the public to vote, they had to see all 20 short films, which is the equivalent of seeing two-hour films. Really, what that's for is to give everyone equal regard. I think it's cool to have a great party, but at the end of the day, you want a film that resonates with you. And I'll tell you, the great news about the Louisiana Film Prize is that the community up here, and by the way, the community for the film prize is highly made up of the filmmakers and the filmmakers' families, and you can stack the vote however you want to stack the vote. But what's cool about the community up here is that they give really deep regard to what they're seeing. It's like, you know, 11 o'clock at night and there are 90 people standing in line at the voting table. And I'm wondering what's going on, if my volunteers have abandoned me. And when I got to the front of the line, there are six people and they have their programs open where they've taken notes on each one of the films. And in taking those notes, they are really trying to figure out what film deserves that money. And I tell you, when you have people that give that kind of consideration, and you have the filmmakers that are putting the work in that they are, I think you have something that is incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, there you go. So some of them are not deciding based on who got the best tasting beer or the coolest t-shirt, but thinking about the films themselves. So yeah, that's really neat to see. You know, I was joking around before, but you've got the credentials. You are an accomplished filmmaker on your own right. You went to USC. And let's be honest, $50,000 is a lot of money. I mean, do you ever think like, hey, maybe I could just take the money and run? Like Woody Allen might say?
Well, you know, I really appreciate what this state was able to do for me when I came back from living in Austin for 15 years and moved back to Louisiana and saw a supportive community that wouldn't allow me to fail as a filmmaker. And, you know, this thing kind of started, and it still is to me, kind of a love letter to the state and to the creative talent that's here, and also to build on that creative talent. And sure, there is a you know, a crazy aspect to it, but I truly feel like beyond the altruistic end of this, that there's a grand goal that's kind of selfish in the end. I know that if I can do what I can to help build an indigenous film community, you know, we can do what we did in Austin, which is build an indigenous film community that's self-sustaining. Beyond the film credits, which, you know, are awesome here in Louisiana, it's important that we home grow and we attract more creative talent to the state because, you know, one day those credits might not be here. And what's important is that we have nurtured a community that is going to kind of take our state, take Louisiana into so the next generation. And I think that's the grand goal because, you know, at the end of the day, if we can build a healthy creative community, I think that we're all going to benefit.
It's very generous of you to take a substantial amount of time to focus on helping so many other filmmakers succeed. So thank you for that. There was a quote that I noticed from your Haynesville documentary that I think relates to the film prize. It's the one that the Pastor Regis Richards says, where he says, "This looks so devastating. It seems as if there's no hope, but we believe there is hope." He's talking about the energy situation or the job situation in his town, but I think it can also apply to the Louisiana Film Prize. I mean, you're helping filmmakers have the potential to get the one thing that they really need, which is money to make a bigger production. Do you see any connections there, or is that a bit of a stretch?
It's very keen of you to sort of bring up that quote, because I think within the state there is this sort of downward attitude where even, you know, the production that's going on in New Orleans, you know, isn't going to be there forever. I mean, if you're going to just be honest about the way the film industry moves around. And, you know, I worked in Los Angeles, and part of my job when I worked in Los Angeles was to find the cheapest state to do production. And, you know, so I know that these things don't stick around forever. But again, if you can sort of create a self-sustaining community that is sort of utilizing itself to sort of build great projects and bring about the continuation of the building of a creative community, then we all win. And I think that to me is the hope, right? I mean, if at the end of the day, we can sort of come together. And the great thing about the Louisiana Film Prize and the great thing about Northwest Louisiana is it's tabula rasa up here, right? I mean, you just have a community that wants to help people make cool projects. And I think that is incredibly unique both to the area and to the state. And, you know, to help sort of nurture that is awesome. It's just a great feeling. But even beyond that, it's helping to build an industry that I'm a part of just as much as you are and everybody else is.
I have to say, as someone who has tried to do some of my own productions, the money side is so daunting. So to have this prize out there, it is this little glimmering hope. Yes, of course, the chance of winning, it's a long shot, but there are still people who are willing to say, you know what, I wasn't going to do a short, but there is this potential, not a guarantee, but a small chance that we could have a shot at it just like anyone else. And from the people I've spoken to, that's been this little spark to get them to say, yeah, let's see if we can do a team. Let's try to bring in these people who might not otherwise be available. So again, thank you for bringing that little spark of hope to the community.
You know, it's interesting because somebody had a great quote the other day, and they told me that they looked at this as something that, one, got them off their ass, right, to do the work. And then, two, they looked at it as a little $50 lottery ticket, right? I mean, one of the things that I was told over and over again in film school, because, you know, we would have these mentors come in, and some of them very accomplished filmmakers, and they would always end on the point that you're not really a filmmaker unless you're out there creating the work. And, you know, to me, I am the first to say, and I mean this as lovingly as it comes out of my mouth, that if you are a filmmaker, this is something that you burn to do, or even something that you've always dreamed of doing, and you don't take a shot at the Louisiana Film Prize, then you're an idiot. I mean, it is like you said, I mean, it is the grand incentive to go try something. And when, you know, this was all designed to make it sort of accessible to everybody. I mean, it's in a pretty accessible area. It's certainly an accessible project in the sense we're not getting people to shoot a feature. We're getting them to shoot a short. And in the process, at the end of the day, even if you don't win the $50,000, you have completed the work that in the year 2014 you need if you want to raise money, or if you want to go get some other people to be a part of your project or to hire you on another project. I mean, if you look at sort of the landscape of filmmaking today, the short is what a lot of people look at, investors, distributors, studios. That's what they look at when they're starting to consider you as a cinematographer, as an actor, or to try to fund your next feature project. So we're really trying to give people a Swiss Army knife that they can take out and not only advance themselves, but advance their careers.
To play the devil's advocate here for just a moment, there are so many complex problems in the world right now. Why do you think we need more films? Why encourage that as opposed to some other technological innovation?
To me, it, you know, film has always been my personal creative outlet. And I've also seen what film and what creativity and creative endeavors has done to places like my old hometown of Austin, Texas. What I'm trying to do, you know, the big evil plan of the film prize is to sort of create that creative community where this cauldron of thinking and energy leads to much bigger things. Sure, it's film and it's filmmaking, but the people who do this work are incredibly smart people with huge potential on whatever stage they want to stand on. So I almost feel like if I can sort of create that Brownian motion that brings these people together and connects them, that something good will come out of it. At the end of the day, without getting too nebulous about it, there's a much bigger idea here. And we're already starting to see that idea start to have a positive effect. And that's the part that I really, really like about it.
Let's now give our listeners some ideas for stories that they might do. Do you have any ideas that you want to share with people about possible stories that they might do?
It's interesting, and I would encourage everyone to sort of keep this conversation going on our Facebook page. This is our third year to do this, and I have been weirdly surprised every time at what the judges and the public likes. I got to tell you, Nick, I am probably the worst person to ask, you know, about the genres that should be, you know, addressed in these films. But I'll tell you, you know, we've seen comedies, tragedies. We saw a spate of zombie films last year. It's something where, you know, it's almost like everything plays. I mean, we had an experimental film that was in the top 20 that was a really cool piece. It really is something where as people are thinking through what to do for the film prize, you know, you follow that passion, you follow that genre that you love and that you're good at. I almost find that the filmmakers who are doing this for the right reasons and telling the stories from the heart, whether it's a comedy or it's, you know, a drama or it's romantic or it's horror, are the ones that not only get into the top 20, but they also have the best shot at the money.
All right. Well, I came up with some concepts, some words here. So I'll start it off and then you finish it off. We'll just throw these out there just to give people ideas. All right. There is a detective and a boy band singer in a road trip that is
on the way to a hotel where a possessed madam likes to incarcerate her audience and make them watch her terrible stand-up and they must escape.
That sounds intense. Horrific comedy or comedic horror.
It's a dark comedy, Nick. It's a dark.
Yes, yes. All right, so there you go. We gave that to you. All right, what about this? A ninja and a fly fisherman are involved in a modern retelling of an ivory merchant classic that is also
a rollicking comedy focused on them trying to be chocolate makers.
Okay. All right. The chocolatier fantasy. I like it.
That's it. Well, can you imagine the thorium stars in that? It would get totally out of hand.
Yes,
You would win. You would win with that.
You could do promotional chocolate-covered ninja stars or something along those lines.
You know, Nick, if you don't do this, then you're an idiot.
I know. I mean, we're giving away all these gems here. All right, one more. You know, this is a think piece involving, let's say, a ghost from the Crimean War and also a mad scientist who lives in the octopus's garden who is trying to
create a multicolored balloon that will take them from Houston, Texas to Ottawa so that they can stump for world peace.
All right, there you go. That would be, I think, the heartwarming political thriller.
Sure, Nick wins.
That's right. Sure to tug at the consciences of the viewer. So that's another option, folks. One last question. People are listening today. Let's say the ideal collaborator is out there. What would you want him or her to know to get the best out of the Louisiana Film Prize or more generally, Gregory Kallenberg?
Know that we are here to help facilitate their dreams of making a film. I mean, you know, it is one of these things where the design of the entire film prize and the staff that I have working with me is all here to help sort of create that piece that they want to create. And we want to be utilized and we want these films to get made. So it is intensely important that people understand that, you know, info at LA Film Prize is an open line of communication to us. LAFilmPrize.com is the place where you register and get your information, and that we're trying to make it as easy as possible because we want people to do what it is that they need to do. If they're filmmakers, they'll be up here. And if they're filmmakers who are doing it for the right reason, they'll be up there in the top 20 and going for that 50,000 just like everyone else.
All right, excellent. We'll put in all those links in the show notes and have people come your way. The deadline again is July 7th, right?
Yes, for the rough cut.
Hopefully this has inspired some ideas for all you listeners out there and get cracking on your film. Well, it was an honor. Gregory, thanks so much, and you have a good day. Bye now.
Okay, bye.
All right. Well, there you have it. Those are lots of compelling reasons to get involved. The prize is certainly alluring, but it's not just about the prize. It's about the opportunity, the excuse, if you will, to work on something, to pursue your passion, and just see what happens. I like that Gregory mentioned a few times that if your heart is in the right place, the art, the short, will be compelling enough. So I would say focus on telling stories that are meaningful, personal to you, that could somehow make the world better. There are so many mediocre films out there. So if you're going to make something, why not try to tell a story, try to make a film that somehow makes the world better? Audiences tend to respond to that, whether it's something that brings a little bit of joy into the world, or it showcases a problem. It puts attention on something in the world that's not quite right, that could be if enough people worked at it. So just something to consider. I have an idea for a short that I might try. I don't know. I will be honest, it's been a tough couple of months creatively for me because I've seen a couple of projects that I cared about fall apart or not come together as I'd hoped. And so that takes a little bit out of me. Actually, to those of you who are fans of Stephen King, it sometimes feels sort of like the book 112263, where the main character faces an uncanny amount of circumstances that conspire to frustrate him, to distract him from his goal. Now, I'm not trying to do anything as cosmically significant as going back to prevent the assassination of JFK. Fair enough. But it does seem like there's something out there that is trying to frustrate me, to set up all these obstacles. If I told you the number of things that went wrong, the amount of effort it takes to make even the smallest amount of progress sometimes, I don't think you'd believe me. That's not to say that I'm giving up, just that I'm not sure I'm ready to go once more onto the breach, as they say, just yet. I'm still trying to recover from what went wrong the times before. So I don't know. If it's meant to be, the world, the universe, providence, whoever, had better give me a pretty discernible sign, much more significant than anything before. Otherwise, I might just hold off and do it next year. I might get to it at some point, maybe just not right now. We shall see. That being said, I am talking to other folks about helping with their projects. If you have a team and you want me to help with it, I'll be glad to consider. Shoot me an email, the email podcast@ncivitis.com, or just share your feedback. It's much easier for me to commit to being involved than in coordinating my own short. So there you go. If you're curious about my short, well, I'm not going to talk about the idea, but let me know. And if it does come together, maybe I might have a place for you. Well, I wanted to say we got our first comment on the website. That's pretty exciting for us, seeing that we had no comments on the site. We did have some nice comments on iTunes, so thanks for that. But if you heard last episode, I offered to give anyone who comments a poem, a specially written poem just for you, Mr. or Miss Commentator. And we had a taker, Ben Harrington. So I wrote a poem for Ben in kind of sort of reasonably close sonata form. In case you're wondering, the poem happens to be called The Poem for Ben Harrington. So I will read it to you. The empty page I see distresses me. How to pen the mysteries you encompass. In you, where the wild things are, I see. And so we begin this wild rumpus. The way you play, so natural, it seems. Music greets you as a beloved friend. The others can rival only in dreams. To your talent, this tribute I do send. That song you shared of Edvard Grieg startled. A few days before, I heard his music too. Patterns form for poems that are bartered. It's not just that which connects me to you. They might be giants you did also share. You couldn't know how it recalls a whole. To put to words that ache, I would not dare. But such brought the song, birdhouse in your soul. Putting off this poem, I did so try, but the world reminded of unpaid debt. Serendipity cares not if we cry. Ask heaven and tell answers that you get. So ends the poem to Ben Harrington. I don't know what it means, but now it's done. That was the poem for Ben Harrington. If you enjoyed it, you could have your own poem specifically written for you. All you have to do is visit the website podcast.ncevides.com and leave a comment. Now, you have until the end of March 2014, so that's some time, and you can write whatever you want as a comment, but it will influence the poem that you receive. If you did not like the poem, well, you can write a comment and request that I never write a poem about you. And, you know, you might want to perhaps try visiting other sites instead, like, say, Poetry for You and For Me and People Like Us and People Who Hug Trees and Whales and Stop and Smell the Roses. blogspot.com. I'm sure you'll find something that you enjoy there. You hard to please poetry snob, critic, hard to please critic, you. So, yeah. Okay. But if you stay with us, and I hope you do, you have the chance to have your own poem from me. So there you go. It's a good offer. Thanks for your support. Kidding aside, it does help. It is encouraging. And let's go make something. Go and get started on your film short if you haven't done so already. And if you do participate, I would be interested to hear about it. I might even share some of the projects that I hear about on upcoming episodes. And remember, to win the LA Film Prize, you do need to have the majority vote. So it doesn't hurt to get some additional publicity for your project. If you want to hear more about who won last year, I have the interview of the winner from last year's Louisiana Film Prize. That might be something else to help get the creative juices going. So if you're interested, look for that link in the show notes. All right, I've been talking a bit. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Rob Koslow for providing the music at the beginning and end here. The song is True Gemini. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, let's make our future collaborations be better collaborations. Dude, I'm not trying to force my views on you, man, but go back and watch Room for a View, all right? The ninjas are there. You can't see them. They're at the edge of the frame, right outside of where the camera is shooting. But it's because they don't want you to see them. That's why they're ninjas.